is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You're listening to Locked On Pistons, your daily Pistons podcast. I'm your host, Duncan Smith. You can follow me on Twitter at DuncanSmithNBA. You can find my work on PistonPowered.com. You can follow that account on Twitter at PistonPowered. We're going to talk today about Reggie Bullock, who has found himself in the news. When you're Reggie Bullock and you get into the news in the offseason, there is virtually no way that that is good. And true to form, this is bad news for Bullock. He's been suspended, as has Monte Ellis of the Indiana Pacers, 5 games for violating the terms of the NBA, NBPA, and anti-drug program. Per the NBA, their suspensions will begin with the next NBA regular season game. They are eligible and able to play. That is a consideration with Reggie Bullock. He is a restricted free agent, and even before this point, it's completely up in the air whether the Pistons intend to extend him a qualifying offer of $3.3 million. That would make him restricted. You know, even before this bad news came out for Bullock, there's really been no indication from the Pistons front office which way they plan to go. This isn't really a mark in his favor. We can say that much for sure. Per Jeff Zilgit of USA Today, which is actually the first spot that I found this information from about Bullock, marijuana is the only failed test that results in a 5-game suspension, but it takes 3 failed tests before that 5-game suspension kicks in. There are 4 random tests throughout the season, 2 random tests throughout the offseason. So, you know, we don't know when these took place, but this is certainly bad news for Bullock. And it's possibly bad news for the Pistons organization if they had been planning a proceeding with Bullock and if this changes their mind in some way. Again, we don't know if this is going to influence them in any way. They were not interested in any kind of recriminations on KCP after his DUI in at the end of regular season last year. So it's very possible that they'll just chalk this up to, you know, boys being boys in the offseason or whatever, and proceed from there. But there's no chance that it's a mark in his favor, and there's some chance, minuscule perhaps, that it's a mark against him. So suspensions for violating the drug policy are pretty rare. The last one was Mitch McGarry, former Michigan Wolverine Mitch McGarry, at the start of last season. He was with the Oklahoma City Thunder at the time, and they ended up just basically shipping him out. They waived him before the end of training camp last season. He was coming up into his rookie option, and the Thunder decided that they were going to be better off with no Mitch McGarry than with Mitch McGarry. This suspension will cost Monte Ellis, who's making $11.2 million this season, $387,000 for 5 game checks. This is, again, a suspension without pay. And, you know, for Reggie Bullock, in spite of the fact that he's not going to command a salary anywhere close to Monte Ellis, this may cost him more money. He had a hard time staying on the floor last season. He started the season off. He missed the first month or so. I think it was almost the first month. He missed with back spasms. He wasn't back for long before he was out for 2 months after tearing his meniscus. And when he was healthy enough to play, he still didn't get a whole lot of play time. And it's disappointing because after what he showed late in 2015-16, in relief of injury-plagued final stretch of the season for the Pistons, with KCP missing time, with Stanley Johnson missing some time. Bullock showed some stuff, and he showed some things this season as well. Going into last summer, he was my breakout candidate for this coming season, and obviously that never happened, and that's disappointing. You know, you always hope that these guys can put their best foot forward, and they can perform at the NBA level, and they can, you know, provide from their family with some NBA money, maybe set their family up for a generation or more, and things just haven't really broken Reggie Bullock's way, and it doesn't appear that he's done himself any favors here. So that's pretty much the story on Reggie Bullock. We're going to keep an eye on that. We probably won't hear much until we probably won't hear much at all. Period. Vince Ellis spoke to the Pistons president of communications, and he indicated that the Pistons were aware of the situation, but Kevin Griggs, the president of communications, indicated that the Pistons had no comment. So they're aware and have nothing to say, which is more or less what you'd expect of the Pistons in this situation right now. So we'll keep an eye on that going forward, and we'll see what happens in free agency for Reggie Bullock. Next topic, which is a fairly seasonal topic considering the time of year. We're less than a week away now from the NBA draft. It's finally here. It's finally upon us. Projections are nearly to the point where we can stop talking about how these players will fit with various teams, with this team or with this other team. And in a week, we're going to have a hard and fast final draft board up, and we can start talking about how these players who have been selected are going to fit with their now current teams. I'm looking forward to that. I like the aftermath of the draft much more than I like the build-up to it. That'll be something to look forward to. Again, the draft is the 22nd of June, next Thursday. So the Pistons have had workouts. I think they're at 7 different rookie minicamp workouts, starting at the end of May, on May 23rd, and they've had 6 this month, including Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and now Friday today. So it's been busy at the Pistons practice facility, with rookies coming in and out, or rookies-to-be coming in and out. The vast majority of these players have been not first-round picks. They've been projected second round or undrafted. That's not necessarily an indication that the Pistons intend to trade down or out of the first round. It's more an indication of the fact that the Grand Rapids drive needs to be stocked with players. The Pistons need summer league players. Some of these guys may end up getting selected and down the road, you know, after a couple years or a year of being a second round draft pick, the Pistons may have interest in coming with an offer, and this is going to be the last chance that the Pistons get to communicate or interact or learn about a lot of these players one-on-one. So they're basically just trying to build a portfolio of on these guys. So plenty of projected second rounders, plenty of projected undrafted guys. They had both Zach Irvin and Derek Walton Jr., both from Michigan, in this week. And neither of them will be selected in the first round. Neither of them will be going 12 to the Pistons. That's their only pick in this draft. But it's logical for the Pistons to be in communication, learn about these guys, see how they work, learn how they think. That explains a great deal of the bulk of the sheer numbers that have been coming in for workouts. Absent from these workouts have been Donovan Mitchell and Zach Collins, both of whom seem to be fairly high on the Pistons board. You know, as they should be, they're pretty high on most teams' board. Mitchell tends to fall, both of them really tend to fall somewhere in the 10 to 13 range of this draft. It stands to reason that the Pistons would have interest in them if they don't trade up or down. So the fact that neither worked out for the Pistons does not preclude them from being possible draft picks by the Pistons. Henry Ellenson didn't work out for the Pistons last year. I think a lot of that came from the fact that the Pistons drafted at 18 and Ellenson was projected to go higher. He did drop to the Pistons at 18. When you look at the fact that we may have a situation where players who already have like a fairly big book out on them may drop, that's a pretty logical reason right there. Henry Ellenson is an explanation for that. Former Pistons draft picks Brandon Knight and Andre Drummond didn't work out for the Pistons, so it's really no indication that the Pistons are not going to select these two players. It doesn't rule it out at all. So don't bother eliminating these guys from your own research if you're trying to figure out who plugs in best for the Pistons. It's also worth noting, I wrote about this yesterday on Piston Powered, but the Pistons attended Dennis Smith Jr.'s pro day in South Carolina yesterday. Smith is projected to go probably top 10, maybe as high as like 7, 8, or 9. He was projected higher, but he's been sliding down the board in the recent weeks. He had a 48-inch vertical, which breaks the record for the highest vert. Last weekend when he was working out with the Lakers, which is, it's pretty impressive that's 4 feet in the air. That's a hell of a jump. I don't know if the Pistons have significant interest in him or if they're just, trying to fill out their understanding of some of the guys higher in the draft, but they did attend along with, off the top of my head, the Knicks, the Timberwolves, the Heat, and I think that was it. There was another team in there. I don't remember off the top of my head, and I don't have the tweet in front of me. But the Pistons were on hand, and so they would have gotten an eyeful from Smith. So that'll be it for us. We're going to go into the weekend. I'll be back first thing on Monday. Sometime Monday afternoon, I'll try and have this out for your drive time on Monday as usual. We'll be just a couple days closer to the NBA draft, and we'll see the first steps of what the future will look like for the Pistons this time next week. So if you'd like to support the podcast, the best way of doing so is to rate and review the Locked On Pistons podcast. You can do that in iTunes, Stitcher, or whatever your podcast source of choice might be. 5-star reviews are always appreciated. Those things add up and they go a long way for us here. You can also support the podcast by using our sponsor, SeatGeek. And SeatGeek is an app you can download to your phone. It's a ticket aggregator, basically. It collects and evaluates tickets based on value to sporting events, concerts, shows. It will allow you to the deal score feature will allow you to break down by section, by seat, where your best value can be found, especially when we're getting into a new era in Detroit sports with Little Caesars Arena. We don't really know where our best values are going to be found in the secondary market when it comes to Pistons and Red Wings games. So your best bet is definitely to use SeatGeek when tickets go on sale for the Pistons, the Red Wings, and for concerts at Little Caesars Arena. It's the best way to get your toes wet and get accustomed to how price evaluation will work in the new arena. So you can use SeatGeek. You can go and go to the settings tab in the app, enter the coupon code LOPISTONS. That'll let them know that you came from us, and it will also save you $20 off your first purchase. So it's really a win-win. And if you do that, we'd appreciate it. And so is SeatGeek. So that'll be it for today. And we will talk to you on Monday.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our four-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99. And our two-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.